each of us feeling into a sense of welcoming ourselves and welcoming each other into the Dharma hall, the entirety of ourselves, however you are today, whatever's going on in body, heart and mind. You can just ease into, rest into, maybe even relax into this space. So I'll just say a few words by way of introduction. Many of you I can recognize, have been here many times before. If it's first time here for anyone, then really big special welcome to you. Where have you been? We've been waiting. But it's really lovely that you're here and joining in. And if you've been a regular, you know, I hope that this is still feeling fresh and interesting and somewhat kind of unknown. What will unfold? What will we touch on? What will we uncover? So the structure of these sessions is very shortly, we'll have a meditation together, a little bit of guidance, and then a reflection related to that. And then open out for sharing of the space together. Questions can be reflections of your own. Maybe there'll be responses to that from myself or from others in the group. And if we have time, I'd like at the end that we have the space that we can, for those who wish, have small breakout rooms. And threes or fours, we can, you know, continue a little Dharma discussion in a more intimate setting there. So just as we use that chat so skillfully to welcome each other and start to, you know, feel more this sense of Sangha, this sense of community, I always kind of feel a little bit more, it's more present for me when we use the chat in that way. It's like, oh yeah, we've really spread around and we've all come here with this shared intention to explore these teachings and these practices. There's real beauty there. And if we can, I'd invite you that we can use the chat again to share our intentions for this time together. Real power of intentions to feel, what is it you want to bring into being through the time in this session, through this day in your life? What feels like you're called to support? Maybe something in the world, maybe something in your personal life, maybe just something in your practice, any of that. It's one or two words or sentence if you like. Yeah, and just put them into the chat, and as they come in, just an encouragement just to see, if we resonate with it, if we connect with it. Flowing in. So, see if I can keep up. Having some calm, yeah. Willingness and friendliness. Peaceful. To feel that things are okay. Reconnect with myself. Yeah. When you hear something that touches you, you can just feel it. Yeah. Reconnect with myself. Listen to the body. Spaciousness. Maybe even saying these words internally actually starts to shape something. It's kind of a power in the word, spaciousness. It just might even open something. The courage. Yeah. The interesting thing about words, you just kind of repeat words or, you know, repeat them too many times and you just think, am I even saying that right anymore? You know, but like saying it once or twice, really, the power of the words, the power of the words, power of the intention. Getting back down to earth. Compassion. Beauty and freedom. Ease. Allowance. Yeah, it's all these beautiful, beautiful qualities. And in a certain sense, you know, each person's contribution here, whether you're speaking it out in your heart and mind, whether you're typing it into the chat, just making those intentions may be more powerful than, you know, the meditation. It may be more powerful than the Dharma talk. Yeah, just naming your intention. I mean, never underestimate it, and we're an encouragement, something that we do when we, whenever we practice, that we set a nice clear intention. And so the invitation is to bring that intention with you. Yeah. And the theme for today I'd like us to explore is metta. So I'm going to suggest through the period that's take, let's take around, you know, about 25 minutes for the meditation here. And I'll just drop in little reminders if you're in any way new to metta meditation. It's wishing well, wishing friendliness, developing a heart of connection and kindness. And so I'll offer some guidance around that. And if that's not the right practice for you at this time, yeah, really feel free to just mute yourself and maybe, you know, unmute around 7:30 and we'll, not mute yourself, mute the volume. There you are. Mute me, please. And yeah, come back in just for the closing of the meditation together. So the first thing is just with that intention, also making sure that it meets our own sense of the body and the being, what's needed here. So it's finding a connection to the right posture for you. It could be sitting, might be standing, particularly if we're very low on energy. Might a bit of standing to get the energy right. If you're very agitated, it might be leaning back or even resting right back, reclining. The body is a place that you can connect with without too much disturbance, just bringing that intention into the posture. So take your posture, let that intention into the heart, into the space. Maybe letting it soothe as you resonate with this awareness that's holding this whole body in mind. And if the body's not the right place, you know, opening to sounds with that intention. Begin the metta practice just with some breaths, just with some listening to sounds, with whatever that intention was that you were feeling was the right thing to bring into being. Whatever we're doing, listening with that quality. So listening with that peacefulness. Yeah, listening with that courage. That ease. That beauty and freedom. When the mind wanders away to something else, just remembering that intention as we slowly, it's no rush, invite the attention to include also the breath or the sounds or the sensations, whatever's present for you. the mind's wandering a lot, just seeing if you can listen for a few seconds to sounds continuously without wandering away. See if you can be with the whole of a breath, every moment of one whole breath, with that intention. Maybe another whole breath, or another few seconds of sounds. And then just one more whole breath, another few seconds, with that intention. Back into the body, into the listening, into the experiencing this present moment. So invite you, if you wish to follow the metta practice, that we're just slowly, gently invite into attention a being. It doesn't have to be a human being, any being that you feel a nice connection with. Any being with whom sense of friendship, sense of support flows between you. Someone with whom we could say there's quite an easy relationship. Just welcoming them into the heart space, or into the mind's eye. And just letting them rest in your awareness. Still taking some breaths. Just with this being, nothing more added in at the moment. Just a sense of them. It can be as vivid or as vague as it comes. They can be still, like a photo. They could be alive and dynamic. In a sense, just tuning into your sense of them, the energy of them, the feeling of them, and the feeling of your connection. Could be very subtle, it could be very gross. You don't need to change it, just letting it be the way it is, but feeling it. There's a certain intensity to feeling it that's needed. We don't drift away, but really feeling it, being there present with it. like we were present with that whole breath. In that, you notice there's a certain quality that just wishes for this being to be happy. Actually wish for them to be happy. We could put that phrase together, may you be happy. May you be happy. I'm doing metta practice. I like to really feel what it is that I'm offering. So if you like, you can try this. It might not be for everyone. So remember a time when you felt happy, like how was it in the body? What happened, that kind of relaxation, but also bubbliness or something spreading out. Upwelling of joy. Maybe something happened with the face, the smile, the eyes. And so as we say, may you be happy, just like we have feeling what it is that we're offering and offering it. You can also offer the spirit of it, the energy of it. You can use the words, the phrase as a like a vehicle to carry it across to this felt sense of this being. May you be happy. Or content. Joyful, whatever it is on that range you wish to wish. Satisfied. So I'll be quiet for a moment, just finding your own rhythm with the phrase, with the felt sense, with the image of this being. Just keeping with that phrase for now. We'll bring in some more shortly. So it's a real art to come back if the mind wanders away, to do it slowly, to do it gently, to do it in the spirit of metta. And if we're still present with this being, just noticing how they're doing, the connection with them, how that's forming, developing. So just consider that, wouldn't it be great if this being was healthy, whether they are in our mind's eye, whether they are in real life. Wishing them that kind of vitality in the body and that bright kind of clarity in the mind. May you be healthy and well. May you be healthy and well. And as we say it, just remembering what it feels like. Maybe like when you've recovered from being ill and there's that real sense of, back and well. Appreciation of being well, of having your strength back. Or when you suddenly see things really clearly, the brightness in the mind, well rested, interested. And wishing that. Radiating that to this being. May you be healthy and well. Finding your own rhythm with the words, the emotion, the energy, the presence of the being. May notice with this being, as you connect with them, resonate with them. So this kind of natural wish that they feel safe from harm, they feel peaceful in this world, feel able to relax, feel at home in their body, in their location. May you be safe. May you be peaceful. If you wish, you can just take a moment to remember what it feels like when we feel at home. We feel free of worry, free of fear. And the belly softens. The out-breath releases. Heart opens. May you feel safe from harm, from worry. May you be peaceful. Tuning in again to this being, felt sense of them. And maybe we recognize that there'll be ups and downs in this life. There'll be times when there's happiness, times when there's healthiness, times when there's safety. And there'll be times when those aren't available. And that emotional resilience, that flexibility, what we might call ease, is required to soothe, smooth, and ease our way through the difficulties. May you have that. May you have the ease, the freedom. Whatever it is, the fluidity, the flexibility, and we can recognize it in our own being. There are times like that where we're spacious, we're steady, unshaken, able to respond. Remember how that felt in the body, in the being. And then any felt sense of that, just radiating that to this being. May you be easeful. May you live with ease. May you feel free in the midst of life. in your own time, recognizing again, coming into your own body, listening to your sounds in your environment, being present, but not losing that flavor of the metta, the kindness, wishing well. Maybe it can land to this body, this heart, this mind, so that we're also held in this space. And also all the beings that are practicing here with us in the online Dharma hall now, wherever we all are, with all our particulars and our intentions that we brought here. May we all be happy. May we all be healthy. May we all be safe and peaceful. May we all live freely and with ease. And everyone else who's practicing at this time, or who's living their life, doing their duties, taking care of other beings, all around the world, all the beings of the world, the birds, the insects, the mammals, those that burrow into the ground, those that fly in the sky, those that swim in the rivers, the lakes, the ocean's depths, all living beings of this living planet, invited into this space of metta. May you be well. May you be well in your body, in your heart, and in your minds. May you be safe, respected, cared for. And may you live with ease, with freedom. May you be free. May all beings be free. Thank you for your practice together. I hope that was an enjoyable practice to do and appropriate to what's happening in your life. I wanted to share a little bit about how kind of central I feel metta could become in our practice. But before I move on to that, I just want to say a few words about the dana that this is offered in, this spirit of generosity, this spirit of kindness from Gaia House and from the teachers and community Dharma leaders who come here to support us in our practice, and also the generosity of you, that you represent in the way that you come, you attend, you support each other. And, you know, it's a very beautiful thing that, you know, it's all just freely offered. It's all freely offered, and we're free to come here without an entrance fee. We're free to participate, and we're also free to leave. And There's no expectation on you to do anything in particular in relationship to that. Particularly, you know, that we appreciate these are uncertain times, and that that uncertainty is perhaps hitting some of the people in this hall, you know, in a hard way right now. And if that is your condition, I really wish you well, and I really wish you to feel invited to be here and, you know, soak up the resources of what's offered here, enjoy the community, you know, come often. Whatever's happening in your life right now, you know, if you enjoy this, you know, it's happening many times a week. And of course, if there's some of us who have a bit more resources, then perhaps we can feel moved today to give a little bit on behalf of someone else. Yeah, sometimes it feels like there's a direct exchange, or I received something, so I'll give some dana. Really doesn't have to work that way. You can give dana on behalf of someone else. You can give dana in accordance to how little you enjoyed it. You know, I mean, you can just really treat it in any way you like. Be creative, be free, enjoy. You know, the Buddha would say, in the act of generosity, enjoy the intention to be generous. Yeah. So even if you can't give something today, you can enjoy that intention to be generous sometime in the future, maybe. And he would say, also enjoy the acts of generosity. Right? It's really interesting. Like, well, you know, okay. And then enjoy reflecting on those acts of generosity. And so he's talking about something a lot larger than giving dana in a financial form. Yeah, he's really talking about the power of generosity to transform our lives. But this is one of the ways that we can do it, to support Gaia House, to support the teachings and the teachers who come here to share. You know, it's hopefully some wisdom or compassion or kindness or ways to practice that might be helpful for us. And so, yeah, we give back in return. So, feel invited to participate in this creation, yeah, in this way also. So there's a couple of links I can put into the chat here. And there we go. Yeah, did I put those in? No, what's that? It's weird. No, didn't paste. Intrude. What's this? It's very strange. Maybe I didn't copy it. Let's see if that worked. No, it's done it again. I don't understand. It says it's copying it, but it isn't. Well, that's fine. You can go back to the website where you click the link to come here, and that will also work for you there. Really no idea why this funny word intrude is turning up. Oh, thank you. Someone else has put it in. Really appreciate that. So, if you're in a position where you can offer some support in that way, it's really very, very welcome. But it's not with any expectation, yeah, that will be required or needed from you. So, I wanted to speak a little bit about metta. So, metta is this way of relating to our practice, and it really shapes how we relate to other beings. Yeah, so we took it really slowly here because I wanted to just take our time, and actually I do my metta practice regularly this kind of slowly, like one phrase for about 5 minutes, and you know, other people like, you know, more phrases, more beings in a meditation and all of that. And so yeah, there's lots and lots of ways to do it, and you know, if you've been in these sessions with me before, you'll recognize that I like to say, you know, make it personal, make it the way you want to do it. Like, I don't think there's any real kind of rule book about how we do that. The interesting qualities of doing metta practice in a sustained way, so like really letting it be like at the center of our practice, is that it really starts to change how we relate to other beings. Yeah, just sitting here wishing well to beings and doing that a lot of times starts to, you know, if we speak about kind of modern neuroscience or whatever, you know, starts to develop different neural pathways Also, in different ways, yeah. Maybe it changes the chemical makeup of ourselves, but it certainly seems to shape how those beings appear in our heart and mind. And I think that that's the really significant thing. The actual perception of those beings is altered by doing metta practice. So we say that metta is a way of relating. You know, it's a relational quality from the heart of kindness towards these beings. But it's also a way of looking at the world. Yeah, we choose purposefully to develop this and start to see other beings in different ways because of doing a lot of metta practice. So what we'd say is actually it shapes our concepts. Yeah. We could say all beings are worthy of this kindness and care, and then we start to share it with them, and it changes our experience. Yeah. Changes our experience of them. Particularly if you pick a particular being, you know, someone told this story. I think it might appear in Sharon Salzberg's book, which is kind of, she wrote this book about loving kindness. There's many good examples of the power of this practice. It's like someone suddenly starts really beaming when this apparent stranger turns up and they're saying, "Oh, what's going on there? Like, so I'm so happy to see this person." It's like, "Oh, who are they? I don't know. They're my neutral person. You know, they're the person that I pick that I don't actually know, and I just wish them to be well. You know, they've been this person in my practice for this week, and whenever I see them, I'm just really happy." It's like, what is going on? If those kinds of things are possible, and they're not just, you know, errors in our meditation practice, right? It indicates something. So, metta practice actually gives us a very deep insight into a couple of really significant things. How beings exist within us, you know, according to how we've been treating them, you know, purposefully with intent, and how sustained intentions of that start to actually change how we feel about them. You know, it's like a real deep connection happens and gives rise to happiness, yeah? Develops the conditions for happiness. So that's a really significant aspect of this practice. The other one, I think it gives us a sense of the power of the words we can use. Yeah, when I started off this session speaking about these words, you know, like someone says peace, someone says spaciousness, someone says this, into the intentions. And it's a bit like a metta practice, isn't it? Like, there's phrases, there's meaning behind those words, and you hear them, you read them. I think, I mean, I might be, you know, highly suggestible, I might be self-hypnosis material, you know, but I feel something shift when I read those words. I read your intentions, I feel that you mean them, and I feel that then we harmonize in that space. I feel like they touch me, and it's like, yes, that is a beautiful quality, and I'm glad that someone's written it and someone shared it. So I think, you know, as I said, you know, the intentions themselves might be part of the beautiful experience of this. Another aspect I think is really important to recognize in metta practice, yeah, is that the Buddha would speak about them as being illimitable qualities, without the possibility of putting a limit to them, or that they are boundless qualities. Yeah? And it's almost like the metta itself, you know, this might be anthropomorphizing a metta, or a either, well, I don't know, what is metta? Maybe we should talk about that. But whatever this metta is, giving it this sense that it almost, it's like it wants to expand to more, or its nature is to be expanded to more and more. Yeah. It's like I feel a connection of kindness to these beings. And, you know, you may know about all these kind of affinity bias. You know, we tend to feel well towards people who, you know, look like us, sound like us, act like us, and there's beings that don't, and it's like, I'm not sure about you, stranger. Yeah. But the metta quality, once it's awakened within us in the practice, it just wants to go to all beings. Yeah. I don't know if it feels at the end when we kind of generally do this in metta meditation, just open to all beings. If at that point you're just like, you know, there's some people I'm not too sure about. Or if it's like the metta just, you know, it's the metta itself that wants to go to all beings. It's not really my choice or not, yeah. Metta for me, metta for you, metta for them, more and more. Wants to meet more beings, yeah. And in that sense, it starts to, you know, break the boundaries of the heart as well, yeah. And it feels, I think, many people report this, it feels as if the heart does want to break open, yeah. You know, as Leonard Cohen was saying, that's how the light gets in, yeah. This thing, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Very, very kind of beautiful quality. And when we talk about that kind of illimitable boundlessness, I think it's also speaking about that, yeah? That the heart's nature perhaps is boundless, yeah? There could be reticences in the mind and, oh, I'm not sure if that's, if it's right to go there or not. But something about the heart seems to have a courage. It can also be a source of pain and concern as well at times, of course. And just briefly touched on it. So what is this metta? Yeah, I don't know, because it's illimitable. It's also boundless. It can't be limited by words and phrases and concepts. Yeah, it's kind of, it's also inconceivable, and yet, you know, we kind of know it when we're doing it, when it's flowing. And so we have these two aspects in our metta meditations. So it's called metta bhavana, metta cultivations. Yeah, it's like you're planting metta seeds, you're growing metta plants, and they're coming into being, and then, you know, it wants to take over, it wants to grow everywhere. So you just have to live with it. Yeah, it's probably like having cats or something. At first you think you're having a cat, and then you realize the cat's having you, and then you work for the cat and you look after it. So metta can come into that kind of relationship. Yeah. It's beyond concepts. So if we think we know what it is, then we've just, you know, kind of made a sketch of that. But it's always going to be something more. And because it wants to spread to more, we can have the possibilities of more and more ways of practicing metta. So I first heard about this practice from Rob Babea. I'm not sure where he picked it up or if he developed it. But sending metta to phenomena very likely comes from the Tibetan tradition. Yeah. So rather than sending metta to beings, we start sending it to sounds. We start sending it to everything that comes in through the sense doors. Yeah, the Buddha speaks about the all of the all appearances that come to us in the senses, the smells, the tastes, the touch, the sights. Yeah. Also the thoughts, the emotions. Yeah, you can send metta to all of these, right? In the sense that there's that possibility. If we see metta as a field of benevolence in the heart, yeah, that's what kind of comes. So we have metta practice and we have the metta experience. Yes, metta practice, phrases, getting into it, whatever else we're feeling, we're kind of working, we're turning the pedals of the bicycle of metta, we're getting it going, and then it starts to go, and then all of a sudden there's this feeling, it's like, I can feel something here, yeah? Something's happening, something's flowing, something's churning, something's moving, and we've cultivated that. And then once that's there, whatever arises into that field, just sustaining that field, whatever arises into the field of awareness is met into metta. All the sounds, yeah, you're welcomed to be here. Or the sensations, even the painful sensations, welcome to be here. But this is something kind of interesting also. We speak about metta being empty of being any certain way. Yeah, it can feel like it's, oh, metta's just that way. But actually, when metta meets the painful sensations, yeah, or maybe it meets the difficult beings in our lives, yeah, it actually transforms. It transforms into something like compassion or care. It wants to ease the troubles in the world. Yeah. whether that's a being or phenomena, it's held in care. Yeah. And in that same sense, it's not my compassion. It's actually kind of arising from beyond and touching all, holding all the tearful events in the world in compassion. Yeah. This metta quality, again, beyond concepts, yeah, changes its nature, engages with experience in that way. And I feel like, you know, so we have metta, it's one of the Brahma-viharas, you know, the divine abodes, these illimitable, boundless qualities of heart. But compassion is as well. Yeah, so it's almost like metta becomes compassion, or it's the sister of compassion, whatever, however you want to phrase it. And then we have this other quality, joy, taking joy in the pleasant. Yeah. So when metta meets something that's doing well, or a being that's doing well, having good success from their practice, and you think, ah, the joy arises for another being who's leading a wholesome life, doing well in their experience, and you just naturally feel a sense of joy, happy for you. Yeah. And again, it's like it's a natural feature. If it's for me or for the other, it's just, yes, that's good, that's good. In a sense, it's actually born of or enhanced by a sense of appreciation. So a sense of empathy, yeah, that comes through in this appreciation for the other. But yeah, I'm happy that it's going well for you. And it hopefully kind of dissolves the sense that when someone else is being happy, that they've gotten our happy. You know, that was meant to be my happy that I see you enjoying. And so I feel bad about you because, you know, or you got someone else's and you shouldn't have it. And, you know, that's not to say that we become apathetic. And so this is why I mentioned we're kind of appreciative of those who've you know, lived wholesomely. They've been kind, yeah. Like someone who's gotten a so-called success or pleasure, you know, from hurting others or living unskillfully. Right? It doesn't make sense to be joyful for this. You know? They're actually not having an enjoyable experience. It wouldn't make sense for us to be joyful on their behalf. Yeah. But as we know in our life, when we do meaningful things, when we spend time with people even though it's difficult, when we go out of our way even though it's a challenge, that kind of happiness, yeah. That's what we mean by happiness, not, you know, the happiness of getting an ice cream. You know, it's not that kind of happiness. There can be happiness in giving an ice cream, but there's not a lot of happiness in getting one, as far as I can tell. You know, and if anyone wants to give me advice on how to pay better attention to experience, I'm happy to hear it. Something else that our metta can help us and support us to do is actually notice, ah, I want to bring more attention to more. So there are people who we don't notice. Yes, you kind of mentioned that in this Sharon Salzberg reference. Yeah, you can pick someone in your existence who you haven't paid a lot of attention to, and then you just start paying more attention to them. Yeah, it starts to develop something. We can do the same things, like in your body right now, is there some area that you don't pay a lot of attention to? Yeah, and that might even be an area that's quite enjoyable, quite pleasant. Yeah, like the inside of the elbows, the roof of the mouth. You know, those areas, you know, the, I don't know, the back of the head. You know, maybe they all just feel okay. The little finger. Whatever it is, yeah, start to bring attention to that. Oh, who are you? What are you? How are you doing? And the metta kind of comes towards that and brings a sense of interest, a sense of engagement. Yeah. And some of these things in our life don't change, they're unreachable. And we have that phrase in the metta practice, you know, even though I'm wishing for you to be happy, to be healthy, to be peaceful. And I know it can't be that way all the time, yeah. And so there's this equanimity there in the phrases, and there can be an equanimity towards any of these qualities. When we find something that can't be easily changed, someone who can't be easily reached, we just have to, oh, okay. Stay steady, stay spacious, stay peaceful in relationship to this. to let you live your way. But if it becomes available again, we're ready with the metta. Because it's a metta quality in that. It's not, oh, I'll give up on you, and it's the ball's in your court. It's different than that. It's like, okay, I can't change you, I can't help you, I can't heal you when you're not ready. And if something changes, it becomes pleasant, we'll take joy in that. We can open to the painful together, we'll have compassion for that, But until then, there's this connected and caring equanimity, wide open spaciousness of the heart. So, maybe we can see that there could even be a way of saying that all of these practices actually, maybe in a certain way, what's your goal for your practice? And does it look anything like that? We could hold up metta as actually the goal of the practice for us. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't, I'm just saying we could have a vision of that this way. This is what an awakened being would feel, we might say to ourselves. So within all those intentions that we shared, maybe this is kind of the archangel of intentions. And all those intentions, they tie us to our deepest values. And perhaps metta, in a certain sense, is the preciousness within the values. What makes values precious? Something like that, And if it's not metta for you, it might be love, a non-demanding kind of love. A soft, gentle way of relating that wishes to relate that way to all beings and all things, all phenomena, anything that can arise. Takes on different forms, as we're saying, might take on the form of patience or generosity or appreciation, calm attentiveness, interest, even vitality, all of these ways. We could have a vision of metta practice as being an indicator that any practice is going well. That indicator is like, I think my practice is going well. How do I know it's going well? Because I feel a lot of metta towards myself, towards other beings. So it can kind of be like an indicator that practice is going well. In the samadhi practices, the jhanas, the development and sensitivity of the heart and mind and appearances in this way, and beautiful absorptions that are there talked about in the teachings and aren't impossible to access to some degree. That feeling of freedom has that flavour of metta to it, Or insights, when we bring our insights or we gain an insight. We say it's like a reframing of the conceptual framework of things. It shapes who or what or how we see the world. It's going to have that flavour of metta in it also, that relational quality of what leads on from there. We can fabricate our experience differently, whether it's through understanding the kind of the emptiness, the fabrication, these deep ways of fading the sense of self, the sense of phenomena, bringing a rising up of something in the place. Even like shifting the sense of time at times. Boom, it's got a non-demanding love. It seems to come in, fill or give a perfume to that space. So in a sense, when we come off the cushion, when we end our practice, is there more kindness, more benevolence or not? And if there's not, is there something in the way that we need to make an adjustment in our practice? So we could place that goal, metta, more metta would be my goal of practice. And it can be like a sign if my practice is going well or not. I'm just putting that out there. I'm not saying it should be, I'm just saying it could be a way of looking at our practice this way. Yeah. So like the other side of that is it could say it's like it's a necessary tincture. Yeah. Just to drop a little bit of metta into the practice that I'm doing. So I'm doing my mindfulness practice, I'm paying attention to things. You know, someone mentioned, you know, paying attention in a bare way, in a simple way. Ah, this is here. What would happen if I just drop a little bit more metta into that as I pay attention to it? So it's like bare attention and a bit of metta. Yeah. Really helpful just to bring us back into something is like, oh, it's not quite so mission driven. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's kindness driven. And kindness isn't a mission. My mission is kindness. Get out of my way. It's not a mission in those kind of senses. Yeah. I'm really driven to be more kind to people, and you know, you know, it's like, okay, great. So start where you are and keep going. Yeah. So we can see, you know, there was a time where metta was really absent from the practices that were going on. And nowadays, you know, it's here, it's more in the field. In the kind of the 1980s or so, there was this kind of dry insight practice, and people's practice was starting to get very brittle and very, actually people were maybe even getting themselves into kind of unpleasant psychological states, and so kind of brought a bit of metta in just to balance it up just enough so that things weren't too dry and, you know, people weren't getting too freaked out. But what would be too much metta? Is there that kind of possibility? What if metta really was at the center of everything that we do and how we practice?
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.